Welcome again to the Holy Spirit Effect series, where we're taking a look at the work of the Spirit of God in the lives of believers, specifically in the lives of these new disciples that had just seen Jesus resurrected. They have seen him ascend into heaven, and now they have seen the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon them in Acts 2. And we're going to be in Acts 3 today. But as before we go there, I just want you to pray with me. This is the prayer we're going to pray. So I'm going to pray it. I just want you to join me in it. So keep your eyes open this time, okay? Don't bow your heads. I want you to follow along up here as I pray this prayer, because this is one of the ways you can use Scripture. This is actually Ephesians, the first chapter, the 19th verse. But I've just taken it and I kind of rearranged it a little bit to pray this Scripture back to God. This was Paul's prayer for us, and so we're going to pray it in relation to ourselves to ask God to do this within us. So just follow along. Father in heaven, we pray that you will allow us to understand the incredible greatness of your power for us who believe in Jesus. Help us understand that this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the place of honor at your right hand in the heavenly realms. Amen. You know, when we pray a prayer like that, we're asking him to change our lives, to affect us, to make us different as a result. As I was backstage, I was talking to the worship team and just telling them that, I feel real flat this morning. Just kind of like I don't have a lot of energy. I don't have a lot of go, zip. And as I was over here worshiping during Waymaker, listening to those words, promise keeper, miracle worker, and then we talked about sometimes when you don't feel him, he's working, and sometimes when you feel it, he's working. And so it's not a matter of feeling, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of stepping out and saying, Lord, would you just do this in spite of me? And that's kind of where I'm at this morning. I don't know how your weeks have been. Mine wasn't a bad week. It just, I come to Sunday and it's just kind of like, oh, I got to do this again. You ever feel like that? Like it's sometimes just a job? Well, pastors get that way too. We feel like things are just a job sometimes. And so this morning, I'm just stepping out in faith and I'm asking God to speak through me to you and to myself about what he has to say to us this morning. Even though I wrote this message, it's still his work. And so we are going to be in the book of Acts, the third chapter. Don't you just love it when the thing works? Hang on. Well, it doesn't like me today, Ed. Hang on here a minute. Let's see. Try this a different way. Not always. I've lost those. So before we go any further, we're just going to hang on to this thing because it seems like I set it down over here and it goes south on me. So anyway, we're going to talk first of all about the Holy Spirit's role in our lives, okay? And as we talk through this, this is the teaching of Jesus about who the Holy Spirit is. And the reason this is because I want you to understand that because the Spirit of God was Jesus' Spirit, he came down and he rested upon Jesus and he empowered Jesus to do what he was doing. He spoke through Jesus. And so as we see this, we see that Jesus says, but I will send you an advocate. After I leave, I'm going to send you an advocate, a helper, a counselor, it says in some passages. The Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. You must also testify about me because you have been with me from the very beginning of my ministry. So in this particular teaching of Jesus, he says that this advocate, this helper, the Holy Spirit of truth is going to come to you and he's going to talk about me. He's going to point to me all the time. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is he points to Jesus and he says, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one who is focusing people's attention upon who Jesus is. And notice that we also have been given that same ministry to point to Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit came upon these disciples, after he had ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts 2, they did the very same thing. The Holy Spirit prompts them to point to Jesus, to teach what Jesus had taught them. And then he goes on in the same passage. This is chapter 16 of John. And he says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. So they were bemoaning the fact that Jesus was leaving them. But he says, you know, if I don't go away, then the advocate can't come. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. We saw this last week when we saw that when Peter preached, the people were pricked in their heart. In other words, they were convicted. They felt something going on inside them in their spirit, and they said, we have done something wrong. We need to get ourselves right with God. So he will convict the world of its sin and and of God's righteousness. So when Jesus walked on this earth, he was the righteousness of God. Okay, they saw him. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to portray, he's going to show the righteousness of God, how God is right all the time. And thirdly, he's going to talk to them about the coming judgment. In other words, if you don't repent of your sin, there is a judgment that is coming. A judgment when you will stand before God and he will declare that you never knew him, and he will cast those who have not ever placed their faith in Christ into the lake of fire for eternal judgment. Now, people say, well, you don't want to talk about that because that is that scares people. Well, if that scares people, then the Holy Spirit is scaring people. Not me. It's the Spirit of God who convicts us of judgment. And then he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future, and he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, there's several different kinds of truth. There's all one truth, but there's the truth of the Scripture that God has written down. But there's also a truth that says this is the right time to do what you're supposed to do. So in witnessing, in sharing our faith, sometimes it's a matter of timing. Sometimes it's a matter of waiting for the person to ask the right question, and then the Spirit of truth will guide you into that, and he will speak the truth through you. Notice that's what he said. He will speak what he's heard. The Holy Spirit will speak what Jesus tells him to speak, and then we are to speak what he says. And then he says, it will bring glory to me by telling you whatever he's received from me. The Holy Spirit brings glory to God always. He always points to Jesus and says, he's the way. That's what he does. He's always pointing at Jesus. And so when we see Jesus or the Spirit of God speaking and talking in Acts, the third chapter, you're going to see what's happening going on in the lives of these disciples. So the disciples now are actually doing what God had told them to do in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He says, as you are going about your daily activities, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have already taught you. And lo, I'm with you always. See, that's Matthew 28, 19, and 20 in a paraphrase version from me, okay? As you're going about your daily activities, make disciples. In other words, tell people who Jesus is, point to him, and when they come to faith in Christ, teach them how to live like you live. Teach them what you know. And so in Acts 3, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to this. In Acts 3, Peter and John are doing exactly what God has told them to do. They're going about their daily normal activities, and they're listening to the Holy Spirit. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up, And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was a lame beggar they had seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So we see the Holy Spirit effect occurring at this time. We see that Peter and John were doing what they normally do on that particular day. And we see something happen here. We see something goes from the natural to the supernatural in the sight of everybody that's there. It says Peter and John are asking, the lame man is asking them for some money. Now, I want you to think about this. Peter and John are going to the beautiful gate. So this is the eastern gate of the temple, okay? They're walking in this eastern gate. This is the gate that everybody goes through that are coming to the temple. A lot of people go through that way. They've been through this gate hundreds of times in their life, okay? Now, this man has been lame for 40 years. 40 years. And during that time, these people have carried him up to this gate, and they've set him beside this gate so he can beg for alms or charity of the people that are around him so he can live. So how many times do you think Peter and John have walked by this man before? Okay? It's normal. That was his normal routine. This was their normal routine. So why make this day anything special? Why is this day special? Why on this day did they look at this man and say, I don't have any money, but I'll give you something? Why on this day? Well, what's the difference between this day and the days prior to it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in these men, and he's guiding them into truth. Now remember, I said truth not only is the Word of God, sometimes the truth is the application of the Word of God, or the prick to move you forward into something that is maybe out of your comfort zone. So the second thing I want you to think about is, why did Peter think that he could give this man healing in his legs? So if you were walking into the courthouse and there was somebody there begging and you'd seen them there for years, okay, why on that day did Peter think, hey, I'll give this guy healing in his legs and then God will be glorified? You think that's what he's... I don't think that was what he was thinking. I think the Spirit of God inside of Peter and inside of John says to this man exactly what you see up there. I think those are the words of the Spirit of God coming through them because they are filled with the Spirit of God. He says, I'll give you what I have. Now, we also know that even though they were filled with the Spirit, they also had been trained by Jesus. They've been trained by Jesus. And if you remember in your Gospels, we can go back to stories where there's a time when Jesus took the 12 disciples and he sent them out two by two to go preach the kingdom of God, okay? In another spot, he has 70 of them and he sends them out two by two to preach the kingdom of God. And in both of those times, he says, I want you to go out and I want you to heal people. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to declare the kingdom of God is near. So they're preaching the gospel they had at the present time, but they were also doing the miracles that Jesus also did. So they had watched Jesus do these miracles. They themselves also had had the opportunity to do miracles and the power of that Jesus gave them. And all of a sudden, they come to this man on a normal day, and they look over there, and the Spirit of God prompts him to say to this man, hey, I don't have any silver, but I do have some healing. Would you like some healing? He didn't even ask him if he wanted it. He just said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And then there's a point of faith. So if I walked over to Jeff right now, and I says, Jeff, I know you got an ailment in your legs, you know, it doesn't work quite right. And now he's okay, I'm just making this up. Okay, and I say to him, walk. Well, anybody can say to you, walk. The question is, can you walk after they tell you you can walk? Okay, so there's a point of faith on the part of the person standing up, and there's a point of faith in the part of Peter going to him and saying, let's do this. It's easy to say the words. It's a lot harder to trust God with what he just told you to do. And may I say to you, sometimes the Holy Spirit's effect on our lives is kind of like that, okay? It doesn't feel like it's right. It doesn't feel, but he said this is what you're supposed to do. And in order to have the Holy Spirit effect in your life, you have to step out in faith and say, okay, I'm going to do what you told me to do, even though it's uncomfortable for me, even though it doesn't make sense to me, even though it's just the normal day and I feel flat and nothing's happening in my life. It's just, I'm going to do this because you said I'm supposed to do this, and therefore I'm going to trust you with the result. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we look at this, and sometimes we look at this particular healing, and we say, that is fantastic. But what I want to tell you is that the healing is not the biggest part of this story. This is just the opportunity that is created by the Holy Spirit to do something he does. Remember, I told you that the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. He points to Jesus, but he points to Jesus with a divine message that Jesus can save you from your sin. Not just heal your body, but to save your soul from sin. So he points to him and he says, I'm going to give you an opportunity now to share the gospel with the people who are watched what has just happened. So the point is not the healing. The healing is never the point, folks. This lame man is going to give glory to God. That's great. It's fantastic. But this is not the point of this story. This is just the opportunity. And that's what exactly we see here. See, the Holy Spirit gives opportunity to Peter at this very point. Him and John. And this is what it says. Peter saw the opportunity. What opportunity is that? He has a crowd that has gathered around him again. Okay, he's in the temple. These are all people who are Jewish converts or Jewish people. They're worshiping there, and they see this man who was outside the temple. He is running and jumping and leaping, and they say, isn't that the guy who was outside here just a minute ago? You know, we've seen him for 40 years. 40 years we've seen him out there. We didn't do anything about it, but 40 years he's been sitting there, and now he's walking around. What's going on? And that gathers a crowd. If there was a healing in our midst today, I will guarantee you there would be a crowd that would start to come. Maybe not today, but over the course of time. People would start to say, how did that happen to you? What's going on? Can I get some of that? So that's what's going on here. There's an opportunity, and Peter addresses the crowd. So this is the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and it now is the Spirit of God speaking through Peter, because I don't think Peter had a chance to prepare this message either. People of Israel, he said, what's so surprising about this? Peter has a sense of humor. What's so surprising? Last time you saw healing, were you just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. We saw those every day. No. Okay. The people say, what's so surprising about this? And why do you stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power and godliness? You're thinking that it's from us. We're trying to say something. It's not us. And then he goes on and says, for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. So these are Jewish folks who not more than 52, 55, maybe 60 days ago, maybe 2 months ago, okay, they crucified Jesus. They hung him on a cross with the Romans, and they put him to death. Notice what he says. The God of our Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the one you rejected. Oh my gosh, this guy has got boldness. Do you see that? These are the people who put Jesus on the cross. They have the same power to do that to these two men if they want to. Okay? And he says, you rejected this holy one and righteous one. You rejected this holy and righteous one. Instead, you demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And you were witnesses of this fact. So you were there. You were there. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. See the faith point there? And you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name healed him before your very eyes. They had all witnessed it. There's no way they could turn aside from the fact that a miracle had occurred. They were pointing to Peter and John to say, you guys did this, and they're saying, no. Jesus did this. The one who you killed is now alive and is now doing miracles through us. And we point to him and give him the glory. He's the one to be honored, not us. These men, filled with the Holy Spirit, have a divine message. That divine message is Jesus saves. If you will place your faith in him, he will save you from your sin. They point to Jesus and they say, he's the one to be glorified. Now, you would think that that'd be a great thing. All these people are rejoicing. They're having a great time of it. But the next passage we see, it says, while John were speaking to the people, while they were talking to these people and pointing to Jesus, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some Sadducees. Now, these are the people who not more than 2 months ago had put Jesus into the prison. They crucified him. These are the same people. This hasn't been 2 or 3 years. This is 60 days. 60 days since they did this. They remember Jesus. They remember Peter and John. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them since it was already evening. They put them in jail until morning. They arrested them. Why? Well, for good reason, okay? Because the reason follows. But many people who heard the message believed it. So that the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. 5,000 believers in a matter of a few days. Why? The power of the Holy Spirit convicting men of their sin, showing them what righteousness is and how to achieve righteousness through Jesus Christ. And understanding that if they didn't make that choice, there was judgment that was going to follow. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's bringing men and women. Now, it says in another passage later on that there were this many men, and it didn't count the women and children. So just think about that. Just multiply a few things out in your head and think to yourself, so how big is this church? We think we have mega churches today. They don't even come close to what the mega church was in the first century. Considering they don't have all the equipment and the technology and all the things we do this, that keeps cutting out on me. 5,000 people pricked, convicted by the Holy Spirit, come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the ministry of the Spirit of God through these human messengers. A divine message given through human messengers in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God that produces repentance, or an opportunity at least for repentance in the heart of the listener, so that they may come and fulfill the salvation plan of God in their lives. It's the Holy Spirit that does it, folks. Don't ever think that when you share the gospel that you are the one giving any salvation to anybody. You're just planting a seed. That's all you're doing. It's the Spirit of God who saves us. It's God who saves us. And so we see that the number has increased. Now, we had one opportunity. See, we had the healing that took place. We had the first opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus with these people. And then we have a second opportunity that happens on the morning after they're imprisoned. So these two men are in prison. They drag them up before the Sanhedrin, and they brought the two disciples in, and they demanded, by what power and whose name have you done this? I think that's a great question, okay? What a great lead-in for any preacher, any person sharing the gospel. So how did this happen? Well, look what Peter says. He says, then Peter, notice, filled with the Holy Spirit, God within him, says to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? They asked. He's just responding. He says, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know how this happened? And then he says, let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel that he was healed in the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, by whom God raised whom God raised from the dead. Now, these are the very same people that 60 days ago put Jesus to death. If I was in Peter's shoes, in my humanity, I would not say to them, you crucified Jesus. Because you could crucify me too. But that's what the Holy Spirit said, not Peter. Holy Spirit doesn't mince any words. He's not politically correct. He is not politically correct. He will tell you the truth up front and in your face. And if you don't like it, then you can either be judged at the last day or you can come to faith in Christ. It's your choice. But he doesn't pull any punches. I find it interesting that Peter and John said this to the face of these men who they had watched just 60 days ago arrest and then have a trial for Jesus, and they were in the courtyard watching this occur as they were questioning Jesus. So they know what could happen. They don't care because the Spirit of God is speaking through them. Now, you know, you maybe not know the rest of the story. This rest of the story goes like this, is they sent them out of this room, and then they said to each other as they're talking among themselves, you know, we know that a miracle has occurred. No one can deny that this man who was lame is now walking, okay? And in addition to that, all these people saw this happen, so we can't deny that there's a miracle that occurred. However, we don't want these guys talking about Jesus anymore either. So they brought him back in, and they said, you know what? We command you not to talk to anyone else in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Do not do that, or there'll be consequences to pay. And this is what Peter and John say to them. But Peter and John replied, do you think that God wants us to obey you rather than him? The question is, who do we obey? Do we obey God, or do we obey him? Now, this is in regard to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. That's what this is in regard to. This is not in regard to going against the government just because you think it's no good. It's not okay just to do what you want to do, okay? This is not, you can't take this one out of context. It has to be in the context. We obey God when it comes to the gospel, to the sharing of the good news, whether it costs us our life, imprisonment, or whatever. That's what we do, because that's obeying what God has asked us to do. But this is not related to anything else. It's related to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So these people, these men went out of there. They came from that place. They released them, and they went back to the church. And for this, I just want you to think about this in terms of your scriptures. It's in chapter 4. It says that as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers, the 5,000 believers, by the way. This is a big group of people. And they told them what the leading priests and elders had said. And when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. They fell on their knees and they went to prayer. That's what they did. They started praying. Why? Because prayer is the communion with God. How can we communicate with God who we can't see? We pray. We talk to him. And this is what they said. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by your Holy Spirit through the ancestor David, your servant, saying, why are the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with such futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers gather together against the Lord, against his Messiah. In fact, this happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. God had already made the plan that this was going to take place. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, safety and comfort. No, that's not what it says. It says, give our servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Why? Why do you do signs and wonders and miracles and healings so you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who have seen the miracle and can't deny that the supernatural has invaded the natural. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Oh, we need boldness today. Not to stand up against COVID or against vaccines or against the stuff that's going on in our world, but to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're too afraid. But that's maybe our humanity. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit effect, right? We're talking about what the Spirit of God does in our lives. And so the question, again, arises every week. It's going to be, so what? So what? So why are we afraid? Well, maybe it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit full reign in our lives. You see, the one of the things that Peter and John had that maybe we don't have is complete obedience. Obedience to what God has already told us to do and not to do. And yet, we wonder why we don't have power if we're not obedient. We wonder if we don't have power because we're not stepping out in faith, trusting what God has told us in our head we need to do. Remember, the Spirit of God leads us into all truth. He will speak through us. So when we think about how does it apply to us, may I say to you that the first thing we need to understand is it's about obedience. Are you being obedient to what God has already told you to do? And as I say that, I include myself in that conversation. Are we being obedient with what God tells us to do right now? Secondly, if there's sin in your life and God has pricked you because of a sin that you've been doing in your life, then you need to confess that sin and use 1 John 1:9 as your basis to say, if I confess my sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Confess the sin, repent of the sin, bow down and kneel humbly before the King of all the ages, before God Almighty, and ask Him to touch your life, that you may experience the Holy Spirit and the power and the boldness that He has. You see, they were obedient, but they also stepped out in faith in every opportunity they had. Now, as we said earlier, I think that they had seen this man many times before, and this was the day that God had chosen, and He prompted them to that point. He guided them into the truth that this man needed to hear this today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. And so He prompts us to opportunities. So as you go about your daily lives in these next days, if you want to experience the Spirit of God, listen to the voice that's in your head when He says, talk to this one. Or He may just say, that one. Or He may just say, talk. Or, what I've told you before is sometimes the Spirit of God doesn't give you sentences. He doesn't give you a paragraph explaining all that's going to happen before it happens. He just says, move. Do this. And if you don't do it, you're the one who misses out, because He will touch that person with someone else. But if you do move with Him, you will experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as He speaks through you with boldness and with power toward the people that He wanted you to talk to that day. As you go about your daily lives in this next week, ask the Spirit of God to give you opportunities to share the good news that you have with the people that are around you with boldness. See, that's the prayer that we all ought to have. And so this morning, as we conclude this time, would you just bow your heads with me as we pray a prayer that asks the Spirit of God to move in our lives. Father God, we ask that You would allow us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we know that because we placed our faith in You, that we've been sealed by Him, that He's within us. So, Father, if there are sins in our lives that need to be confessed and repented of, would You bring them to our minds, both now and throughout the day? And as we become aware of them, Lord, would we confess them? Would we repent of them? Would we show our sorrow for what we have done that has disappointed you, and we would receive the Holy Spirit's forgiveness and the cleansing that he does within us. Lord, help us to hear your Spirit. Help us to become familiar with his voice so that when he speaks to us, we will hear him. Lord, I pray that you would make opportunities through the Holy Spirit this week, that when we see them, we would know, we'd step out in faith and we would talk to the person or we would help the person. Whatever you ask us to do, Father, you have prearranged this already. We get to participate in it. So, Father, would you just allow that to happen in our lives this week? In the name of Jesus, we pray.